I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. We are back. Conversations for Couples. You forgot you missed your line already.
The podcast.
Okay, there you go. It's been a couple of months since we've been recording. Yeah. We had the summer off, so we are back, and we're back with a New York City girl, Sydney Sadek, nationwide media fashion and entertainment commentator. She's been on Good Morning America, E!, The Today Show, Access Hollywood. We met her here in D.C. on Fox 5 and just loved her pink dress and those fluffy shoes she had on. It was like, oh my gosh, she was so pretty. Not that you weren't pretty, too. You were beautiful also, but the outfit was just blew you away if you were a male. Sorry, Sydney, but it you look great.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, she looked just dynamite. I was like in awe of her
Yeah,
whole
she did
outfit.
Look amazing. She also is the editor of a book called Aim High, How to Style Your Life and Achieve Your Goals. And we want to talk to Sydney about your book and her most recent project. She's the founder and editor-in-chief of the founder and editor-in-chief of Spotlight Magazine, which is also very cool, a very, very glossy, interesting magazine set in the – there's one in the Hamptons, one in Palm Beach, I think. Is that right? And is there a third one anywhere?
New York, the Hamptons, Palm Beach, and Miami. We do 4 markets, 8 issues a year.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah. Well, anyway, welcome aboard, Sydney. We're glad to have you. We really are. And you're not in the pink today, but you still look beautiful.
Thank you. I'm not in the pink. I feel like, I don't know, you reach 30. I feel like when I saw you guys, maybe I had just turned 30 or was at the end of 29. And there's something when you hit 30 where it's like you start to like neutrals a lot more.
Well, that's interesting.
I'm in the middle of two women whose hair looks terrific. Julie, your hair looks awesome.
Well,
you had your hair done today.
Yeah,
Sydney, your hair looks beautiful.
Thank you.
Also had my hair done.
Oh, good.
Okay. Well, I didn't have mine done. Mine's being grown for my trip out west because I'll be wearing hats when I go out west. So, Sydney, I want to start with something in your book, and I read bits and pieces of it, and not the whole thing I want to tell you, but I have read parts of it. And one of the things that caught me was where you talk about fashion impacting people's lives and how they're happy in their lives and how it can positively affect their lives. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the book came out 5 years ago now, which is absolutely insane. So as you're bringing that point up, it's funny to go back because I wrote that at, you know, a certain point in my life. But that statement of fashion making you feel good is a statement that never goes out of style. And I think when I think of fashion, you know, I've never thought of a price tag that's associated with it. To me, it's always been this incredible way of expressing yourself and feeling good about you. And that's the point. It's about taking clothes, taking accessories, whatever it is, and showing up as your best self each day. Because I know that if I'm dressed, I'm going to have way more of a successful day than if I just sit around in my sweatpants for me.
Yeah.
And so it's a mentality.
Yeah, I love that. And I just have to chime in with a story that I think you'll really like, which is when I was first starting out as a therapist, I was working in a community mental health business. What's the word I'm thinking? A community mental health center. Okay. And we had a lot of people that, you know, didn't have a lot of money, a lot of people that were just really struggling financially. And I was working with this mom and her 3 kids. And I remember her telling me that they didn't have a lot of money, but she made sure she took the kids to like Kmart or Walmart before school started. And each of them got to pick out one new outfit. And she said the rest of the time they wore hand-me-downs or thrifting or whatever it was. And she said she felt that for the first day, the kids needed to walk into the school feeling confident, feeling proud, and feeling, you know, important. And so as you talk about that, I think about that story that has impacted me you know, for 30 plus years now as a therapist.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I had a similar type of experience when I was hosting a segment, and I do this almost every year for Inside Edition, where we'll surprise cafeteria workers with outfits. And so I did that just last year. I'm sure we'll do it again in a couple of months, but amazing just to see how it can make somebody's day. And, it, you know, it's not always so vain. And even with me, when I was dating my husband at the time, he came from a completely different background than I did. I grew up right in the heart of New York City. I went to a private girls' school. I had a very, like, Gossip Girl-esque childhood. My husband came from absolutely zero in, you know, a very, very tiny town in Massachusetts. But one of the first things he noticed about me was that I had style, and he liked that. And this is not a man who, like, you would think naturally, you know, is into that. So it's something that can not only make you feel good, but it can connect you to others too.
And how do you think, Sydney and Julie and I, and we'll talk a little bit about this, but how do you think how you dress and where you go and what you dress when you go there is how that affects a relationship? I know you're newly married. How long have you been married now?
A year and a half.
A year and a half. We got 37 and a half years on you, so you got some work to do. But
yeah.
But you know, how does that affect, and what do you think about when you're getting ready to go out with your husband or when you were dating? And why do you think that's important, if it is?
It's definitely evolved from when I met him to where we are today. He remembers that when I walked into Central Park for the first time, when we met off of meeting on Bumble, I was wearing black leather, tight leggings with like a sweater that definitely showed a little bit of cleavage, high boots. Like I was making Central Park my runway, apparently.
I love that.
And he was into it. And so I guess when we were dating, I definitely leaned towards more bodycon silhouettes and was, you know, whatever, as a woman, you're trying to impress a guy typically if you're interested in them. And then now that we're married, I don't think it's good when women give up. That's like something that I think is never a good idea, because it's not just about giving up for the other person you're with. It's about not giving up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at even my Instagram, I would say today my outfits are definitely not as provocative, whether that's being married or me just being over 30 now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still, I think, always dressing with some sort of sexiness to it, but there's more of an elegance and more of a maturity. And I think that's really important to make sure that your style does evolve as your life does, because it is a visual representation. And I'm in a more serious point in my life. I own a magazine. I'm working with some of the biggest brands in the world. I have clients that, you know, I'm talking to all day long. So like today, I'm super professional. I'm not in that hot pink fun dress, which is amazing for TV, but you can't see the rest of it. But I'm in a look that reflects where I am in this moment. Mm-hmm. And so that's important to make sure that your clothes are reflecting where you are right now, I think.
Is that a lot of pressure?
It's really not. I think it's very, for me, natural. I'm sure for some people it is, because fashion doesn't come organically to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's just happened very organically. And I like that. I think there's a lot of women, you know, especially at my age, because we're starting to see wrinkles for the first time, that are obsessed with all the filler and Botox. Yeah. And like, I thank God did not go down that train, despite the fact that both my parents are in the beauty industry. But for me, I have just always loved clothes. And so I'm more also now about investing in great pieces versus just running to Zara. And, you know, running for that $30 item adds up if you're doing it all the time.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to be smarter about all decisions in my life.
It certainly does.
Yes, it certainly does. I'm a shopper.
She is. So, but let me ask you a question, though. You talk about how you're dressing differently now, because in part where you are in life and what you're doing professionally. But you know, and we work with a lot of couples, have talked to a lot of couples that have been together for a while, right? And there gets to be this sort of yin and yang, you know, we're just used to doing this and doing that. And then all of a sudden, you know, people are going out with pants that are too big or shirts that are too long or shoes that they wore to cut the grass, that sort of thing. Shouldn't there always be a place, at least for people who, for most of us, for that sort of, for the kind of attire that you're talking about, which is might not be what you wear in your business meeting, but maybe wear on a date still with your husband?
To be in the more relaxed type.
No, I'm sorry. That wasn't a good way to ask the question. What I'm saying is, shouldn't there be a place for that sexiness, even in a relationship that's been together for a while.
Yes.
You know, I mean, for me, it's important with Julie, and we've been together for a long time.
Yeah, 100%.
David really likes when I dress up, and I like when I dress up, more importantly, right? I'm not doing it just for him. Like, I like to look, like you talked about, I feel more confident. I feel, you know, just better about myself. But we do see couples, I want to say, like, get lazy about, you know, what they're wearing, lazy about fashion, lazy about sometimes hygiene, showering, taking care of themselves. And I think it can affect the relationship.
It can. There definitely is still a place for sexiness. I even know, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? Every day is Blur's day to me, but I was at a big fashion lunch and it was honoring the designer and creative director for Balmain. And I was wearing a bodycon, very sexy dress. And I still do this occasionally. And when I, you know, walked in the door, I was like, you look so adorable. And he tells me that every single day, or that I look gorgeous, or whatever the words are. But there is a place for sexiness. And I think it's just about applying the sexy that feels appropriate to you, and that can change. Our bodies as women change all the time. You know, I don't love wearing a bikini, not because I'm married anymore, just because, like, I don't feel great in it anymore. I like wearing a one piece. To me, that's sexier, to keep a little bit of mystery to the mind, you know, in that way. But I don't think it's just about women. I think men get very lazy too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I always tell my husband, you know, I'm like, I really appreciate that, like, you really think about what you're going to wear every day. And I've definitely influenced him in that way. He always dressed well. But if you look at pictures of him, like, he's really evolved with his style since he's met me. And I find it attractive if a man puts effort into what he wears. It goes both ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the pandemic certainly had an adverse effect, you know, on folks and what they wear. They're used to being at home. They're walking down the steps to work. They can't go anywhere. And we've relayed this story before, where Julie and I, when we were in the midst of the pandemic, and everything's shut down, you know, and couldn't go out. So we sort of created these dates at home. Mm-hmm. We would do like a 20s motif, and she'd put this cool flapper dress on, or we would do, you know, any number of cool things. But it made, even in that situation where it was almost costumey, like, you did feel good, and it was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was something you said, I don't know if it was on one of your podcast episodes or when we were on the show together, and it's something that always stuck with me. And I remember telling my husband immediately, and he lives by it. And I think you said, Dave, that it was to never let your wife be at home on a Saturday night without a date or going out. Mm-hmm. And my husband will never do that to me. And so I think it's such a smart point, because, again, it's not about doing something alone. It's also about getting dressed and leaving the house and putting that effort in. So it's a really important point that you made.
Yeah. And David has kept me honest through the years, because there was a lot of times that, you know, we remember I would work all day. We had four kids. I was working as a therapist, and I'd be like, okay, let's go to dinner. And I was sort of exhausted. And he would look at me and he'd say, go get out of your social work suit and go put something else on. I don't care what it is. And I would be like, oh, this is good enough. He'd be like, nope, go upstairs and take a shower and get dressed and just for you. You know, and just do it.
Yeah.
So let me shift to, again, there's so many cool little gems, and I'm talking about your book, because I want to ask you, and I know it's going to push you back a few years, but you there was a whole piece in there about how to pack like a fashion expert. People are going on trips. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to take. They're not sure what to do. We're getting close to doing that actually. So how does somebody, you know, I guess it depends where they're going, but how do they work within what they have to pack right for a trip that they're going on?
Where are you going, by the way?
We're going out west. We're going to Utah and Wyoming. So we're going to be
so
warm in the days and cool at night and out west. And that's why I've got the beard growing and the hair's growing and all of that.
Very cool.
I'm going to get a big cut when I get back.
You got to get the Salt Lake City Housewives on your show. But how do you travel like a pro? I think the key, again, like you said, it's not only where you're going, but it's how long you're going for. Mm-hmm. If you're going to Europe for a week, my mentality today is, if you own beautiful things that you have spent money and energy keeping them up, bring your things with you. Just bring them. If you're going out, you have a lot of important dinners, you have events, I really think it's great. The ways that I think it's best to limit bringing too much is really, as a woman, especially with the accessories, and men. Shoes take up a lot of space. Men's shoes are incredibly heavy. Women's, you know, we could bring 30 pairs of shoes and it still wouldn't be enough. But I think it's about keeping the accessories tight, sticking to silhouettes that you know you love. Vacation or traveling for work is not a time to experiment with new pieces. Yes. I think you should really bring what you know looks good on you and have a little extra room in your suitcase if you do end up purchasing something when you're away. At least for me, I'm very lucky. I go to Europe multiple times a year because of my job. I have a lot of advertisers who are European fashion brands. And so I really don't shop that much in the US anymore. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I think things are incredibly expensive. And so I really do more intentional shopping once or twice a year. And so I'll always bring an extra suitcase when I go away because it's more expensive to buy a new one than it is to check. And that's a modern spin on my travel.
I love it.
I always have a fantasy, and I guess I shouldn't say this out loud because it could happen.
Oh, say it. Go ahead.
Is that I get someplace and my suitcase is lost and I have to buy a whole new wardrobe.
Don't put that out in the universe.
Is that bad? Is that bad? Because I love shopping. So like to me, it I know I'd want like some of the things, I'd be sad, but in part of me, it would be kind of exciting.
I think a lot of women especially have this flirtation with the idea of starting over with their wardrobe annually. Like every time I go into my closet after the summer, I'm like, I hate everything that I wore when it was cold last year. Like this just doesn't work. And so I also talk about this in the book, how important it is to have the Real or Poshmark or Vestiaire Collective be resources for reselling your clothes. Donating is great. And I donate tons and tons all the time. But especially if you have pieces that, you know, have some value, sell it. And then you're not spending new money necessarily when you go shopping. You're taking that money and just repurposing it to clothes that you like. So it's very common to feel bored or annoyed with your wardrobe. I feel it all the time.
Well, it's funny. I compare the two of us to like baseball players in some ways. And that is, if you know baseball, you know, Julie's like a singles hitter. You know, she hits for average. Bop, 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 bop. Same thing with shopping. Bop, bop, bop. She'll buy this for $50, this for $20, this for and you know, there's boxes coming and there's, and she buys boots that might be $80 and they're this or that, whatever. And there's always tons of stuff. Mm-hmm. Me, on the other hand, I buy just expensive things, but I don't buy as many of them, right? You know, I love leather jackets. I love hats. I like jeans and boots. And that's kind of it for me. You know, whatever shirt I can find that looks good with it, that's where I go. But but it's interesting how people attack, you know, what they wear and when they wear it and how they find things.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I've been into vintage clothing recently, and I've been finding some really cool, like things that nobody else has, which is really nice. And I bought a skirt that I had to remake because I put it on and it was like, I loved this skirt, but it was, didn't fit. It was too tight. So I took it to a seamstress and she was able to make the waistband bigger. And I just love that. So I love like sort of that reusing and being thrifty and getting cool stuff.
Yeah, it is. And some of those pieces have more personality. You have to come to the city because what is it called? I'm now blanking. It'll come to me after this. But there's an amazing vintage fair that happens twice a year or maybe more now in Manhattan. And it's like the best stuff. I bought the most incredible vintage. I'm sorry if anyone's against fur, but it's a fur, you know, coat that's incredible. And I have this really deep obsession right now. And it's so stupid. But I really love Hermes Kelly bags. I just do. I have been dying to get a bag forever. I love Hermes. I just cannot get my hands on one of these bags. And like, I am literally trying to work the system all the time to get one of these purses. And I've just honestly, as of to this morning, I was like, you know what? There are some interesting vintage ones online and they're actually a little more expensive than the retail, which not everyone understands. Like vintage might be old, but it doesn't mean that it's cheaper.
Right.
And, I don't know. I'm debating like whether that would be a big step to take. If not, I should probably not waste my money on a bag. But
well, you'll have to let us know what happens with that.
Absolutely.
Bag
now, what do you say to people that, you know, say, you know, either, you know, I just don't have anything to wear to that, or, you know, it takes too much money. I can't afford to do those things. What do you say to those folks?
Listen, my career started because I was showing women how to dress in under $30, not even $50, $30 for like a full outfit. Mm-hmm. I think Amazon is such an incredible resource. To me, Jeff Bezos deserves every single dollar of his fortune because he has made everything easier for us. And you can search on Amazon, and I buy them. My mother buys them. The most of my shoes that I wear are all from Amazon. So you have shoes that look like really high-end designer that are literally $15 to $20, and they're super comfortable. They look great, and they last. So, yes, can you like expensive and nice things? 100%. Do you need to buy expensive and nice things to look good? Absolutely not. I think Zara has gotten to be expensive. Forever 21 is in bankruptcy. So I think Amazon is really the best resource for getting great looking pieces for less. And at this point too, like, people ask me all the time, are these diamonds? They're absolutely not diamonds. This is totally fake. So people don't necessarily know what's real versus what's not. You know, someone asked me if this is a really expensive blouse today. You can't really tell, but it looks expensive. It's not. It's super cheap. So, like, you know, for me, I do not buy based on the price tag. I buy based on what I like. And I don't like, you know, I don't like spending a lot of money on clothes. I don't. I go through phases where sometimes I'm like, David, where I'll buy less and maybe they're more expensive. But clothes don't hold value at the end of the day. And when you're a woman who doesn't feel like they have anything to wear and you want to change it up a lot, that gets expensive. But what do I say when you have that feeling of not knowing what to wear? It's a normal feeling to have. And it doesn't matter, you know, how much of a wardrobe you have or how little of one you do. Every single woman in every single position feels that way pretty regularly.
Yeah.
It's normal.
Yeah. I always say that I'm an equal opportunity shopper. So I will buy stuff like literally at Walmart. I will buy stuff at Nordstrom's. I will, like, I don't care where it comes from, a thrift shop. If I like it, I like it. And I sort of get a like almost a rush out of getting something that looks expensive, but maybe is inexpensive. And I like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, I don't know. It's like a hobby. Rush? It's like, I mean, it makes me feel good. If I
get a rush from a Snickers bar.
So. There you go. I mean, if I see something that I like, that's like, you know, a pair of $500 boots, I won't spend $500, but if I can find something that I like that looks kind of similar for $100, that's a win.
100%.
Yeah.
And brands like Steve Madden, they make that really easy too with shoes. Mm. A lot of my shoes are Steve Madden.
Yeah.
There's ways of working the system, and it is fun.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about, you've been married a little under 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we all face different challenges at different points in our relationship. So you're essentially a newlywed, and you're out there and you're dressed and you're looking good and you're with people and doing things. Has that been difficult at all for you or your husband to try to manage on a day-to-day basis?
You know, it's like you two. Like, you both are an equally attractive couple. I think
well, that's nice of you to say, but I don't think so. She's a lot better looking than I am.
But you're okay. Equal. It's like you look both equally great.
Thank you.
I feel the same way about my husband. My husband is an attractive guy, and I'm sure women look at him when I'm not with him. You know, there's sort of like a lack of men right now in New York City. It's kind of thing. There's like a drought.
I didn't know that.
Me neither.
Total drought. And so my husband stands out. But, you know, my husband and I are both incredibly confident in who we are. He will make comments to me at times, and more so when we were engaged. Now, a little less, Laurel, he'll say, you know, there's always men checking you out. Like, every time we're out, like, there's someone checking you out. But he, you know, he knows I only have eyes for him. And so I think he likes knowing that he has in his eyes, I'm not calling myself pretty, but he thinks I'm a pretty wife. And with him, I feel the same way. Like, I'm happy that I married someone who I find to be very handsome. Like, that was part of what's important to me. And so I think it takes a confident person to be with, you know, this could sound controversial, but like, to be with another attractive individual. You'll see some people who, to me, they might be amazing people, and that's what brings them together. But not all men can handle having an attractive wife, and not all women can handle having an attractive husband, but we can handle it. And it's something that really never goes through our minds at this point at all, which
so your husband doesn't get jealous with you out there, like, you know, dressed really nice, looking so gorgeous. He's like, he's confident.
He's really confident. He'll more just like, I think the only time lately that he made a comment was when I had a text message and someone's face popped on with it. And it was a tennis instructor who was working at it. He's like, who's this guy? I'm like, oh, he's working the event. Or he said, you seem to really like this Taylor Fritz, who's the boyfriend, you know, of Morgan Riddle, our cover star. I'm like, listen, he's a great tennis player. He's attractive. But like, I think you guys would understand this too. It's like, you don't really think of people like that anymore. Like, just because you can say that someone is objectively attractive, like, there's a difference between feeling attraction to somebody.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's good point.
I mean, and the difference.
This does toggle to your magazine, because we get it each month, and we, or when it comes out, sometimes I guess it's every couple of months, but we get the we get the one from the Hamptons, and you had this guy, the tennis player, on with you in one of the photographs, right? As I recall.
So I had
Who was that guy
on the cover. Are you talking? Oh, Chris Appleton.
That's it.
That's
yeah.
Kim Kardashian's hairdresser.
Oh, yes. There you go. The hairdresser. Yes. That's right. Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Good looking fellow. No question about it.
My husband did say, when I sent him the editor's letter picture of Chris holding me up in the air, he's like, what's going on here? I'm like, don't worry. He's gay. Don't worry. Not
So tell us about the magazine. When did you start it? Why did you start it? And what do you do with that?
So I got my entire start in the magazine and media world before TV. I was a journalism major at GW in college in Washington, D.C. I had attended a summer program at Harvard University in high school and had a daily blog that I had written and maintained for like 8 to 10 years. So writing was really my background. And then I became an editor at the Daily Front Row, which is the official Fashion Week publication. I was there for many years. I then went on to work for Hamptons Magazine, which in our community is like a very big deal. And I freelanced there when I was pursuing TV, because I really at that point felt that TV was more lucrative and was just having a really big moment. This was, you know, 10 years ago, nearly now. And then COVID happened. I had written my book, obviously, and life really changed. The nature of television completely changed. I had been offered an opportunity to move to LA for a really big network to host a digital show. I was planning on it. And then the pandemic happened and the whole gig got completely shot down. I had started this daily Instagram live show that I was hosting, interviewing celebrities every single day from 12:30 to 1. It was called Lunchtime with Sydney, so people would feel less alone during their lunch breaks. And that got picked up by the Today Show, so they had me host the same concept on their platform Tomorrow by Today, which was a Instagram account that they had for millennials and whatever. I was doing all this stuff. And then it just got to this point where I was really not feeling fulfilled by what I was doing. Like, I've been on TV maybe 250 times in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. I was hosting this show, interviewing huge celebrities from Drew Barrymore and Henry Golding. I mean, like, big, big names. But, like, I started to not feel satisfied by that type of attention anymore. And I was like, I am a college-educated individual. I have a strong business sense in addition to being creative. And like, I just started being really fascinated by entrepreneurs who are just making like a lot of money and the business side mm-hmm. of media. And I was like, okay, I have written for all these publications. The Daily Front Row had a Hamptons magazine. Hamptons magazine, obviously based there. And I'd been going to the Hamptons my entire life, and print is a huge part of the Hamptons community. Like, if you guys go to the Hamptons, you cannot walk around town, and there are about 8 towns within the Hamptons that are all like 5 minutes apart. You cannot walk without seeing not only Spotlight, but about 7 other major magazines. Mm. And so it's a really big deal there. And I just said, like, I'm done working for everybody else. Mm-hmm. I spent my whole life either making money, making connections for other people, and I'm going to do this for me. And I felt that there was a really big void in the marketplace for a magazine that could reach that next generation luxury consumer, so the millennial. And I started the magazine. It'll be our 5-year anniversary in 2026. I had zero investment. We've been profitable since day one. I was very lucky that I had about five brands sign on with me for my first year so that I could pay the bills without even seeing a tangible product. They believed in me from my past work because the industry really knew me more as a writer and editor, whereas TV, like I was more known in terms of like from fans, like people who watch TV, very different. And it's been the most rewarding experience of my life. It's amazing to build something from nothing, to employ people. Like I have, you know, people who are significantly older than me who depend on a paycheck for me all the time. Like I like that feeling. Like that feels good that we're keeping an industry that everyone told me that I was crazy to get into because they're saying it's dead.
Right.
We're keeping it alive. And I get to work with interesting people and brands, and it's stressful at times, but not in the ways that one would think that it's stressful. Not because it's challenging, just because I'm dealing with a lot of people. Yes. And it's a high stakes industry.
Yeah.
And you've expanded outside the Hamptons.
Yes. So started out in the Hamptons year one, and then we expanded into Palm Beach, Miami. In New York City, if you go on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, it's a free magazine. There's these like silver magazine boxes in front of all of the high luxury stores like Chanel and Brunello Cucinelli. And the magazine is there in front of all of them. And this week, especially because it's back to school and everyone's back from the Hamptons and traveling, like the amount of people I see carrying the magazine in their bag, under their arm, like it's so fun to see. Like it's such a weird, different level of reward that I get from it.
That's awesome.
It's different.
You're amazing. You're pretty small. You're pretty short. People can't really tell.
I'm so short.
but you are a big personality and you are a firecracker. I mean, you really are. I mean, lots of you just have exude confidence and energy. And we just, when we met you in person, we just both really like.
Yeah, it was funny because the first thing we noticed was the pink dress and the I noticed. Yeah. And then we're sitting there talking in 5 minutes. I'm like, this woman has it going on. Not just, I mean, that's you look sweet. Great, but you sounded terrific.
And we also loved your mother.
Your mom was
Thank
awesome.
You.
Yeah, she was terrific.
She's amazing.
She's a
working
big part
for you.
Of what I do.
She's working with you.
She's working with me. She left her job. She was like, I'm running this thing with you. And it's really helpful because, it's really hard to trust people with money. And she runs mine for me. And she has amazing ideas. Like today, there's this really iconic newsstand down in the heart of the West Village called Casa Magazines. And so it's been around for 75 years, and they'll collaborate with like Miu Miu and Valentino, all these big brands to do like custom newsstands. And she's like, I really think like we need to get the magazine in there. And I'm like, listen, like I've mentioned things to them casually, not about getting it in, but just like doing something together and nothing really happened. And she's like, we're going in. So we went in today and they were like, yep, we're taking all the magazines. We love them. Like we know the magazine. Immediately we put them in and people were walking in and taking it. I'm like, thank you, mom. Like, it's good to have someone in your life who can guide you. And for me, it's my mom and my husband. It's the two of them.
That's great.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's
she
a
definitely
good team.
Looks out for you. That's a good team
right there.
No question. No question. I was talking to your mom, I guess, maybe a couple of months ago. So we're talking about what she's doing for you. So, well, maybe we would like to get into things and talk with you a little bit. She goes, no. You talk to Sydney. I don't talk about that stuff.
So she doesn't make the decisions at all. She gives me ideas, but she knows I make the decisions.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, it's been so nice talking to you. We can't wait to see what you continue to do because I know this is not the end of the road. You're going to continue to expand.
One more thing I wanted to bring up before we turn off because I mentioned to you that you know I didn't think I would fit in the Hamptons because I'm a jeans, boots, hat guy. As you can see, the beard's growing, that sort of thing.
And my husband has one too.
Okay, and you said, I want to tell you a story. So I'm going to let you tell me the story.
No, the story yesterday. It wasn't exactly about that. There was something else you had said. And what was it about men? There was something you said.
Okay.
It wasn't that. And now it wasn't about that, though.
It flew out.
Can he come to the Hamptons wearing a Western hat and boots?
You're right. That's what it was. Wait, now it hit me. I was at a very fancy restaurant yesterday named Cipriani on the Upper East Side with my mother. And back in the day when I was growing up, you had to wear a suit and tie, like women, your dresses. And we were there. And everybody except us was in jeans, T-shirts, like polos. So anything goes at this point. And okay. also the Hamptons, by the way, is super casual.
Okay, super so you can casual. Go. You can go.
All
okay.
Right. Okay. All right, good
and
deal. It's good to know.
You would have been in perfectly for the Hampton Classic, which is the big horse show that was last
Ooh.
Week.
Sounds great. Maybe next year.
Yeah. That sounds wonderful. Awesome. Well, yeah,
you've
you.
Been awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time. We wish you all the best with the magazine. We look forward to catching back up with you either down here in D.C. or maybe in New York or some other place in between.
I'm coming.
Yes. And where can people find you if they want to get a hold of you?
You can find me on Instagram at Sydney Sadick.
Awesome. We'll put that in our show notes, folks. As always, you can find us, The Bullitts, T-H-E-B-U-L-I-T-T-S, at all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and many others, which I'm not going to rattle off because I usually screw it up. But this has been awesome. Be sure to join us next time on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.